Welcome. This is Winning at Life. Yes, it's the Daily Wrap. We do it every evening at 7. Live Financial Talk Radio, and I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
I'm your co-host, James Parker. Thanks very much for hanging out with us today. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, you can call Gregory. He's a Hall of Fame financial advisor here to take your questions, 504-260-0995. You can also call from the Winning at Life app. You can send us a text or get that Winning at Life app. It has all our podcasts, so you can listen on demand as well, which today's show, we're already planning on cutting it out and putting it up to be available on demand. So if you like what you hear at the beginning and you got to step away, you will be able to come back and hear the rest of this on the podcast, because this is one of the most popular topics we've ever done. This is a list that we actually did first on the show over 5 years ago, and we've replayed it maybe once a year since then. And every time we replay it, we get such good feedback, and we felt like we sort of shortchanged the segment even. So we're going to do a long form version of the same list over the course of this show. And this is something that is going to be documented, pulled out, and put into the Winning at Life canon.
Awesome. That's what we want to do with it. So you can go and select it when you're ready, but we'll probably do it again.
All right.
Years.
So here's what we're talking about. This is 20 things the rich do every day that poor people don't do. Definitions: rich people who are in the top 20% of income earners. Poor people who are in the bottom 20% of income earners. So this is separated out by quintile. Okay. And this is important here because in most countries, whatever caste system you're born in, you're going to stay there. But the good thing about our country and capitalism, you can be born poor. That doesn't mean you're going to stay poor. You could be born rich. Doesn't mean you're going to stay rich. And where does this mobility come from? A lot of it comes from your everyday actions.
Simplify it. Millionaires versus non-millionaires.
Okay.
Is another way to think about it. If you're wanting to get into that level, and look, it's not the same as it was 20 years ago or 40 years ago. Being a millionaire. Think of a millionaire from an income standpoint. If we're working with $1 million in IRA assets and you're wanting to take a 4% income, that's $40,000 a year. You know, you're not killing it there, but we have 62% of the people that have less than $100,000 saved. So what are the little things? We're not talking about giant things, but little things that can maybe alter what you're doing. And this is the difference right here, these 20 things.
All right, number one, they actually squeezed two in here, but number one, 70% of wealthy eat less than 300 junk food calories per day. 97% of poor people eat more than 300 junk food calories a day. I'm not sure if I passed that one, Gregory. I might be on the poor side of that one.
Oh, no. We had dinner last night, and you know what happens at a restaurant a lot of the time? Oh, did you save some room for dessert? No. I had asparagus and a filet. No, I did not save any room. You know where you probably should have dessert if you're wanting it? First.
Mm-hmm.
You know, give me some of that cheesecake for appetizer and then bring the entree. But I don't do that either. I just, when you're working out as well, when you start like get on that elliptical machine and then do some weights, or you're out doing some jogging or working out with a trainer, and what you have to go through, and like on the elliptical, I see how many calories I burn and how hard it is. I'm like, dessert? That's going to kill what I had to do this morning.
Yeah, when you realize that drinking a Dr. Pepper is 75 minutes on an elliptical, you might just get a glass of water.
Yeah, that is part of it, and that's even when they bring out the bread. Would you like some bread? No, don't bring it to my... You know what's going to happen if it comes to your table with some warm bread and butter?
I'm going to have to eat the whole thing.
Yeah, don't bring the bread, I'm not going to order dessert.
All right, do the second half of that first one.
Okay. 23% of wealthy gamble, 52% of poor people gamble. Wealthy people don't have to gamble because they're wealthy. They may have some fun with it, but it isn't like, oh, I've got to cash in tonight. Mm-hmm. The poor, why more than half is they're walking in there wanting to hit it. And that's where the casinos make most of their money. Look, we were in Bahamas at Atlantis, and the kids were with us. And I was kind of explaining, this place isn't built on you winning, because they're 20 and over there 18, you can gamble. And they were like, blackjack was going all of a sudden, they switched dealers, and I lost what I won. I said, well, yeah, this place was built on people coming in here and losing money, not winning. Just got to be right time, right place, maybe on that.
Number two.
Well, can I throw up one other thing in there?
Sure.
That's like, we were talking, we're a financial show, so we were talking about stocks, and it just, you could go gamble away $1,000, or you could make a really good decision. Like, what was it? Apple 10 years ago, 1,000 in, mm-hmm. be worth almost 10,000 today.
Right.
What was the other one that was?
Tesla. If you got in on their IPO 8 years ago.
20,000 about. On 1,000, and you might want to sell those. It's questionable.
Yeah. Well, you have a better chance of winning if you're gambling in the stock market, don't you? Or at least some chance.
Well,
of
look, you, the odds are always in favor of the casino. And if you're sitting down at a slot, you don't know what the odds are or when that computer chip says it's going to hit. You don't know. But if you're going to buy a stock, You could gamble and do the penny stocks. And I need to hit a big one. I need that 1 8-cent one to go to $1 this year. Or you can do it methodically. Make sure you have good fundamentals, the technicals right, find the right buy spot, buy, and diversify that 1,000. So you don't, what if that one decision goes wrong? Because every one of them aren't going to go right. So let's do things where it's in our favor to win.
Well, that doesn't sound like gambling at all.
No, it's not.
All right. Number two, 80% of wealthy are focused on accomplishing some single goal. Only 12% of the poor do this. I think we both passed that one with flying colors.
Yeah, even though I have to accomplish more than a single goal every day, but you know, you have a focus on what you've got to do and get it done.
Yeah, we have the long-term goal, and then we have all the little intermediate goals that lead up to that one working too. Number three, Gregory?
76% of the wealthy exercise aerobically 4 days a week. 23% of the poor do this. And it's not easy. You know what it takes? It takes time. It takes getting up earlier. It takes discomfort. First off, part of it, you have to add time to your day. And that's something that we seem to talk about lately is, how do you find more time? Oh, well, I'm too busy. Well, then find some time. I'm busy. What do? I find extra time in the morning. Get up earlier. Stacy, my wife, and I was talking about this the other day. She said, God, it's so hard. I said, yeah, it is. That's what you got to push through. Once you push through it, okay, you're up and going. And then you got to do the, oh, I got to go exercise. It's not going to be any fun. Yeah, but then once you get adjusted to those two things, you're going to feel better the rest of every day. You're going to have better quality of life and live longer. That's my thoughts.
But I'm so lazy.
And you're not so different from that as well. You understand that is the difference is, well, I don't have time. Well, you have to get up earlier.
Yes.
I can't work out in the evening. Heck, I don't get off to 8 o'clock when the show ends.
Right.
So I have to find my time in the morning, not in the evening.
If I have one secret piece of advice, it's figure out a way to work out at home. I have a weight bench. I have some dumbbells, and I can go out to my back patio that's covered. So even if it's raining, I just had to make it as convenient for myself as possible, or I will make excuses. Number four. 63% of wealthy listen to audiobooks during the commute to work versus 5% for poor people. Ooh.
I don't have but a 10-minute commute. Now, I could go back, 15 years ago? Yeah, my commute could be anywhere from 30 minutes to an hour, depending upon traffic. What I find is trying to set aside besides doing the workout, but setting aside time in the morning to read. Get some reading time in. And I've done that for a long time. And it's just like, how do you know all this stuff? Well, I read every day. And on Sunday, I'm probably putting a few hours into that.
I think a technologically updated way to state this, or something that I do that would fit this, is I watch a lot of stuff on YouTube that's educational. I watch history professors or some guy in an economics forum. Right.
The whole world's different because of that, because you can watch videos, you can go online, you could Google stuff, but audiobooks, like was mentioned here, is pretty cool, especially if you're committed to drive in a car and going to be there for 30 minutes or so. Imagine the content you can absorb every day. So listen to that rock and roll. Hey, how about listening to something that's going to help you be better?
And it's perfect for road trips. So which one are we on now? Number five?
Yes. 81% of wealthy maintain a to-do list versus 19% of the poor.
You know, I'm surprised it's 81% of the wealthy. I'm not that shocked that the poor people don't, but really, that many people have to look. Here's mine in my back pocket. Right, here's mine.
I know you show up that. I don't necessarily show up with a to-do list. I think I'm a little bit different because I have people that have my to-do lists every day.
Your to-do list is a week long. I've seen it.
Yeah, my to-do list is serious, but I have people that I task to make sure those things are happening, that they have to-do lists along with their controlling my to-do list every day.
All right, we're going through 20 things the rich do every day that poor people do not. I am James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. I got your fix. Winning at Life. This is the Daily Wrap. We do it every evening at 7. Give you an hour of money talk, things that can help you achieve more with your money. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks. Winning at Life, if you don't know, we've been doing this for over 8 years now. Something I really love. And we do 8 hours a week because Saturday we have a 3-hour version of this show. If you'd like to participate in the conversation, we're talking about 20 things the rich do more often than the poor don't.
Next, number six, 63% of wealthy parents make their children read 2 or more nonfiction books a month versus 3% for the poor. What is going on in poor houses? Read a book if you want. If not, I don't care. 97% of poor parents don't care.
Look, it's not, and I can tell you, it's not easy to do. But you know how you train them to enjoy books is do it when they're young, that they find out there's something pretty awesome there in the binder of that book, instead of like, oh, I don't want to do that. I can just jump on a video game there. And it's something you have to train them to do and encourage and reward them. I don't know. Does school still do that, James? You've got a few going up through there. Do they have like some reading that they do or whatever? Remember my youngest, I remember in upper elementary, is probably 6th grade, 7 or something. And they had this program where if they would read so many books a month, you would get this reward. Well, David would just always knock that out and then he would stop reading. So I had to talk to the teacher. I said, you've got to up this because actually he can read more. He just stops because your goals aren't high enough. Everybody, why is he so smart? He reads all the time.
Yeah. How does he have all that stuff in his head? Because he put it there.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of this also is being a good example. You know, if you have poor parents, there's a good chance that they themselves don't read. So the kids don't grow up watching, hey, there's dad on the chair just reading again. If you see your parents reading, that normalizes it too. You know, it's not a foreign concept. So it's interesting how much reading and self-improvement keep showing up over and over in this list. Next one, another parental note.
70% of wealthy parents make their children volunteer 10 hours or more a month versus 3% of for the poor. Well, with David and the triplets, the school system, they went through kind of
pushed that.
And actually, they probably put, and when you say 10 hours a month, maybe it wasn't quite 10 hours, but there was a focus that they had to accomplish that through the year. I don't have a problem with that. That was not something I monitored a lot, but it is extra non-sports extracurricular stuff. I would kind of add into that mix to do something besides go home and do the TV or video games.
I think our church is a great influence because they focus so much on volunteering and helping out the community. So my kids will put together little homeless packs. We go get some sundries for homeless people, and you put it out, and we make like 10 little packs, and we give them to the church, and they give them out to the homeless people. But they see us doing that, and they're kind of getting in the volunteering habit as well.
And one of the things, regardless of your community, if you have food banks, that's an easy place. You said, well, I can't really donate. We're not talking about donate. Help them go box the stuff up and deliver it. That's easy stuff to do.
You know what they make kids do at the food bank? Whenever you don't have can drive and people donate, someone has to go and look at all the expiration dates and take out the stuff that's expired or
there
about
is to work to do.
Yeah, that's what they
all need that help.
Now here's an interesting one. Number 8, 80% of wealthy make happy birthday calls versus 11% for the poor. Now this doesn't even touch the financial world. This is all about interpersonal, being a good human being. Basically, you know, this is kind of like the volunteering and the charity. This is happy birthday calls, Gregory.
I can't say I do that, James.
I can't say I do either. All right. Well, we failed that one.
But look, maybe that is going on. It is something to think about and give a positive touch. You know, we like doing birthday cards, and we always get comments on that. You ever get a birthday card?
No.
Outside of me?
I get one from my mom and one from my church.
Yeah. And it might be an email or video. We have other ways of doing it today besides the phone call. And I honestly just don't have the time to do that. But there's other ways to make people feel special and those that are important to you. But expand your circle of those that you reach out to in some way.
Well, I think this is sort of a tangent to networking. How many of your business opportunities or your personal professional opportunities come from maintaining a network of people and staying in touch with people and being personable and staying on a first name basis? And next time there's an opportunity, oh yeah, the Parker, I remember him. He just gave me happy birthday last month. You know, these little things add up. Number 9, Gregory.
67% of wealthy write down their goals versus 17% for the poor.
All right.
And that's kind of a thing we do every year. And we'll review and update those as well. And, you know, what is the goal? But what's your stretch on a goal? And for me, you know, it is business related. How are we going to grow the business? And what are we trying to reach and such as that? And it might be with you a personal savings goal or to get out of debt, but set some goals that you try to reach. If you miss, okay, readjust and go at it again. You've got to have a target. If you don't know where you're going, how are you going to get there? That's one of my favorite sayings. If you don't know where you're going, how are you going to get there?
All right, the next one. 88% of wealthy read 30 minutes or more each day for education or career reasons versus 2% for the poor. Is this the biggest spread that we have on the sheet here?
This is it. This is the big spread. Actually, we had touched on it a few days back when we were talking about doing this again because of all the requests that we had.
Yeah.
You know, what's the biggest spread? And it's the reading. I touched on it up here on the audio book. Yep. There is putting some reading time in every day. Yeah, if you wanted to focus that on something, you know, I'll use investing. What if you did that 30 minutes every day for 5 years, focusing on a topic? you'd probably become one of the foremost authorities on it. If you think about that, 365 days a year for 5 years, you will, whatever it is you're in, you'll probably become one of the foremost authorities on that, because that's how rarely it's done.
And it's so easy these days with the internet. I mean, it must have been a hustle just 30 years ago. The constant self-improvement, because you're having to constantly get books and magazines and pamphlets and these little binders that you show up with from the conventions.
Hey, I think that number 10 might be, if I had to list on what's the most valuable out of that,
number
besides
10.
Fitness comes second, but number 10 would be first.
Well, number 11's...
And we're not trying an order here like, oh, number one thing to do, the rich do, is not eat junk food. I don't know that we have an order here. We just have a list.
Number 11's a little bizarre, though. 6% of wealthy say what's on their mind versus 69% of the poor. How do you even quantify that?
I can tell you, don't always say what's on your mind. People are getting in trouble with Twitter on that and other subjects, and sometimes conversations. Maybe that second glass of wine, you were a little too free with the tongue and said something you shouldn't have.
Yeah, Roseanne.
But think about what you're going to say. Are you adding value? Are you taking a away? Are you making a comment in a group thinking you're funny, talking about somebody? Don't bring people down. Help lift up and be careful what you say. Be thought of more as a positive person and not a negative. What we can always gripe, but who cares?
Yeah, it's funny in the moment, but if you are perceived as the negative guy, or you tick somebody off, or I don't know, maybe you make the claim on Twitter that you have the money for a leverage buyout option on Tesla and you don't, you know, maybe you just shouldn't say it out loud.
You don't always have to say what you're thinking.
All right. This is another good one on 12. This one totally makes sense.
79% of wealthy network 5 hours or more each month versus 16% of the poor.
I believe that one.
I believe that one, and I'd say, yeah, I do that.
Oh,
every month.
We definitely kill that. Here. You want to just take this call real quick? Because we can knock this out in like 5 seconds.
Absolutely.
David, New Orleans. You're on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. Quickly, sir.
Hi.
Hey.
My question is, when does a person be eligible not to keep paying IRS taxes?
When you stop making money that's going to be taxed. You have to stop making money. Stop earning anything that's going to show up on your 1040.
Yeah, there's no age limit on Social Security or income tax. So yeah. That was an easy one, David. Thanks. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. Winning at Life, the Daily Wrap. If you'd like to join the conversation, 504-260-0995. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks, along with James Parker. David from NOLA called us right before the break. It was a quick. He wanted to know when would he be able to opt out on taxes on Social Security. For you to do that, you have no other income. And basically, if you're an individual, for example, your income's got to be under $25,000, considering your earned income and half of Social Security for Social Security not to be taxed. So you've got to like be able to live on not much in that case. But I'll tell you, there's two things certain in life: death and taxes. And there's a reason you've probably heard that before. Oh, I've heard that before. Well, that's because it's true. You're not getting away from taxes.
And you don't want to. You don't want to live the type of life that it takes to avoid all taxes. You're a caveman or an Eskimo or something, right?
Yeah. Living on the land up in
Northwest Territories, the Arctic Circle, clubbing baby seals. All right.
That'd be rough.
Let's go back to the list.
Dealing with those rabid raccoons all the time, too.
They have those in Arctic.
Well, up in Northwest Territory, maybe, you know, yeah. Seattle.
They're probably angry up there, too.
Yeah.
20 things the rich do every day that the poor people do not do. We're on number 13. 67% of wealthy watch 1 hour or less of TV every day versus 23% for the poor. Now, we need to put some caveats on this one, don't we?
I watch more than an hour of business news and talk every day. Throughout the week, there's some recorded shows I'll watch here and there, and then sometimes I don't watch any, but I'm putting in probably a couple hours a day, but I'm going about my morning routine and my evening routine. It's just my TV's own business, and it kind of plays all the time. My pet that stays home alone during the day is listening. My dog's blind, so I have to say, otherwise she'd sit there on the couch and watch.
She's just listening.
But she's listening to business news all day because that's what the TV stays on.
And she's keeping up with all the great stock tips as well.
So that's the caveat, because otherwise I don't have time for daily sitcoms and stuff.
Right.
And how's that going to help me get better?
Okay, go to number 14 then, because this is a no-brainer.
6% of wealthy watch reality TV versus 78% of the poor.
You watch any reality TV?
None. Yeah, you know, I don't know if that gold show with Parker, Gold Rush.
Oh yeah, Yukon Gold or whatever.
That's not like it's taped and recorded, but it's about this. To me, there's a number of characters on the show, but it's about this 19-year-old kid that's been in the gold mining business since he was a kid and his grandfather taught him. And now he mines and pulls in millions of dollars worth of gold. But it's more, I see it from more of a business perspective than, and I don't, it's not reality. Like, it's not happening at the moment. That happened 6-8 months ago and they put it together. But to watch somebody in a house in L.A. or somebody in a jungle somewhere else compete for something, I don't do that.
Well, let it be known then. Let's put the note down that the one reality show that you do watch is more cerebral than most, because you've got that versus the Jersey Shore or the Kardashians is what most people think of with reality shows.
I didn't even think of those. Well, I was thinking about some island contest.
Survivor, that counts. Oh,
that's it, yeah. Because I'd seen that years ago.
Well, I know another, so it technically counts as a reality show, but you watch it, and that's the car auction shows. You'll watch that. Doesn't that kind of count as reality TV, or not really? Let's just say not really.
No, that goes to business again. It's an auction, prices, bidding. It's like a negotiation, learning skills.
All right, now here's a tough one. 44% of wealthy wake up 3 hours before their work starts versus 3% for the poor.
That's pretty much me.
Yeah, that almost fits you perfect. I've kind of been ruined in that regard because for a big chunk of my career, I was on a morning show on the radio. I'm not waking up 3 hours before a 5 a.m. show starts.
If you got to be on air at 5 a.m., you're waking
up at 2?
No.
Yeah, that's what am I, a vampire now? So, but on a day like today,
that goes to the time to get your workout in, check out the business news in the morning. Look, I woke up at 5:30 this morning, and what happens? I grab the remote, hit the power button, and what instantly comes on? The business channel. My TV's if you pop a screen on, it's going to a business channel, and that's where my day starts every day, is what's going on, what's the futures, what's the discussion this morning.
But the general behavior here is if you're a person who likes to sleep in till the last minute possible, that is not a successful behavior trait. That is the lesson.
We know a lot of people
That was me until I was about 25, until I just decided to be an adult, really. You didn't know me before 25.
Hop out of bed. Oh, I think I've got just not time, throw my clothes on, grab a coffee, spilling it as I go out the door, get my car and make it to work right before the bell ticks.
Right as the bell ticks. I had it mastered. Not anymore, though. All right, do number 16 then.
74% of wealthy teach good daily success habits to their children versus 1% for the poor.
1%. This is the only time 1% shows up on the list.
I'll tell you, the kids don't always want to hear it.
No, they never want to hear it.
Kind of like, hey, this is why we do this. You know, and part of that is the sleeping in thing. Gosh, you're wasting so much time in the morning.
Well, and a lot of it starts with...
But were we so different as teenagers and young adults necessarily?
I mean, it depends, because my sister was so good. Like, she would wake up and make her bed, Gregory. Who's even heard of such a thing? And I never did. My mom told me to do it every day. But my sister has some kids where one of them will wake up and make his bed. Exact same parents in the exact same house. Her other two kids don't. Their room looks like a tornado at all times.
Gosh, I kind of did do that. And then, of course, then I was in the Army at 18 as well.
That might have done me some good.
Yeah.
Do you make your bed every day?
Now?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pulled and straightened.
There you go. That's Miss Parker's job.
Now, there's some more dressing it up. I'm not the pillow everywhere, but Stacy likes it all to be. Then she'll come back behind me and start straightening it.
Well, that's
it
her thing.
And then the pillows go in place. And then in the evening, I'm tossing the pillows.
All 28 of them? When you were single, before you got married and you didn't have a girlfriend or anything, how many pillows were on your bed? Two?
Two.
Yeah. Something about being married. You get 28 pillows on your bed now. All right. Number 17, 84% of wealthy believe good habits create opportunity and luck versus 4% of the poor.
Somebody, we were having a conversation, I think it was email or something a little while back, and Stacy responded, because somebody said good luck, and Stacy responded back, it has nothing to do with luck, what we do. We work hard for it. We work hard at our opportunities. And what does it create, though?
Luck, you know, if the that's appearance what, of if luck. That,
but they weren't meaning good luck without or whatever, and it has nothing to do with luck.
Mm-hmm.
We work hard. Everybody, you know, they might say, well, Gregory, you're just, whatever you do, it turns to go. What, you're so lucky. That's no. It's hard work, and you don't know the path that I went down to get here. And I don't have discussions, and I don't tell people that. And it's just think whatever they want, but I know the road I went down and how hard it is. And if I have luck, I created it.
JD, Ocean Springs. You're next up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, JD?
Yes, sir. How are you doing this evening? I'm a municipality employee that pays into the Mississippi PERS system. I'm a year and a half from retirement at 60. And my question is about Social Security. Right? The municipality does not pay Social Security. So I'm just wondering, once I'm eligible to accept it, am I going to be penalized because I didn't pay into it?
If you're not participating in Social Security, you're opted out of Social Security because of the retirement program that you're working in with the government, you're going to be a part of the WEP, Windfall Elimination Provision. There is going to be an effect on your Social Security benefits.
Yes, sir. Okay. Well, like I said, I'll be 59. I've been paying Social Security since I was 16. You know, even though
hey,
I have
if you have some more questions, hang on a second, okay?
JD, yeah, hold through the break.
Yeah, we'll pay some bills. We'll come back and we'll finish up with you, JD. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome back. This is Winning at Life. It is the Daily Wrap. We do it every evening at 7. And we do it just for you. We do it for JD. We do it for David that's earlier. And all those that download the Winning at Life app also. Just go to your app store and type in Winning at Life. You can text, email, call us from the app. Dashboard, way to reach me at my daytime job as well. I'm a financial advisor, money manager. We're going to help you with your risk number, find out where you're on the path and what does your destination look like. That's because we use the guided planning system as well. Give us a call. 504-260-0995 is the number to call into the show. If you want my office number and more information, go to gregoryricks.com and it'll give you the phone numbers and so forth to contact us there as well as the app.
We're going to continue with 20 things rich do every day. After we finish the call, we're continuing with JD in Ocean Springs, who has a question on how his public employee retirement system of Mississippi PERS, how well does that overlap with Social Security? It's not going to be very pretty here for you, JD. First off, just to recap for the people just joining us, you did not participate in the Social Security system while you were an employee at the municipal level in Mississippi. Is that correct?
No, sir. We don't pay it.
At the federal level, when they see that happening, that activates the windfall elimination provisions. Have you been apprised of what that is? Have you heard of that before?
Yes, sir, I've heard of it. One of my questions is, I know everybody pays taxes. I've been paying size 16. I'm retired military, and I got about 15 months to retire from PERS. And even though I'm a city employee paying into PERS, I've always had a part-time job where I continue paying income tax. Is that going to make a difference?
It very well could. If you want to be able to exit the haircut that you get from the windfall elimination provision, you're going to have 30 years of substantial earnings. And there's a chart for that. That's under the windfall elimination provision. If you want to go back, and they have an index for inflation as well. So if you go back, and I think the number you'd like to use in it from like 1983, Gregory, as long as you made something like $8,000 in 1980 or something to that effect, but they have it all spelled out. Were you making, like, this year in your part-time job, will you make about $20,000 on the side?
No, sir, not now. Probably about 12 or so.
Yeah, see, the windfall elimination provision, the exception that works for most people, and there's a few others, but the key one, if you want to say, well, I've worked before I got into the state program that opted out, I've worked on the side. And some people tell me, well, I've worked two jobs all my life. You have to have 30 years or more of substantial earnings under Social Security. And for an example, your substantial earnings for this year on the other job would have to be $23,850. And over your working life, you would need 30 years of outside earnings. Like in 1997, the substantial earnings is $12,150. In 1987, it was $8,175. So that's kind of what we're talking about, to where then the windfall elimination provision would not affect you, and you're getting 100% of your Social Security benefit. So if you have some working history, it's going to affect those benefits. Or if you don't have any of that work history, you're getting little, if any.
Right. Well, I have substantial since 78 when I joined the Air Force until 06 when I went to work for the city municipality. And my part-time jobs has ranged anywhere from 15 to 20 over the last 10 years. The last 2 years, I don't have it.
So it sounds like you're close,
right?
On that, we had a pastor call us back because he opted out, and what he figured out is he's got to go back to work three. He's got to get 3 years of substantial earnings, and what you want to do is go look at your work history. Have you signed up for your Social Security account online?
Yes, sir, I have before.
Okay. Well, go in there and look at what your substantial earnings are and Google it. It's called Windfall Elimination Provision, and it's a two-page document, PDF, and it gives you those all year by year. So match up the two, and hopefully that gives you some help and peace of mind.
Now, I think this is correct, but confirm with me, Gregory. At least JD's contributions in the past will cause the windfall elimination to be prorated down a little bit. Is that right? Don't they give you a little bit of leeway if you have some substantial earnings back there? And
yeah, and there's an inflation adjustment for that, but it's 30 years. It does have to be 30 consecutive years. It's 30 years substantial earnings, and he needs to go look at that and see what he's missing. If there's some questions, speak to Social Security about that. It's why they have local offices, and find out where your gap is and see if you can fix that.
That would be cool if he only has to do two or three more years and he gets the whole thing.
He sounds close.
Good luck, JD. That. Let us know how it goes.
Thanks for the call, JD. Good luck.
Good night.
All right, we're on number 18 now.
Okay, we are going to get through this tonight. 76% of wealthy believe bad habits create detrimental luck versus 9% for the poor. Well, I don't know about bad luck, but I just don't like doing bad things consistently.
See, I you would
bad
think
habits.
More,
like, to me, that's like drinking soda, smoking cigarettes. Smoking cigarettes is going to kill you. So that's just a horrible habit. I'm sorry if I stepped on your toe, but did you read the side of the packet? Okay. Sugar, too much sugar, especially people are diabetic. Do you want to become diabetic? Your body doesn't deal well with too much sugar, and it doesn't do well with the fake stuff as well. Maybe you need to do some of your morning reading on that of how to be better. So that's kind of what I think of bad habits.
See, and I think that's the obvious ones. I think the ones that's really weighing people down is the small bad habits. And by the small bad habits, I mean not skipping dessert or not being nice to that person that you hate at work or not letting the other person go first when you're in a four-way stop sign, being a jerk and things like that.
Letting others go or opening the door. You go ahead. I'm good. Saying hi to people. I say hi to people all day long. I pass them. I'm going, hey. But you know what I do notice, and I do it anyhow, is they don't say anything back. There's some people I say it to a few times a week, and you know what I get? Nothing. Oh, they just look.
Not even the up nod. That's what dudes do. They do the up nod.
Oh, no. There's none of that. There's like, oh, it's weird. But I've just always been that way. Hey, how's it going? But then, it's the regular one. And I keep doing, I don't like, oh, he's not nice or she's not nice. I'm not going to say it. I still do it. It's a natural thing that I do. That's a positive habit. I think it's bad habits when you don't acknowledge it. What's wrong with saying hi back? Hey.
Yeah, that's
we're doing positive. That's a positive thing I'm doing for you. Give me something back.
And there's no way of quantifying this, but I think 1,000 little bad habits like that sink people more than they realize.
86% of wealthy believe in lifelong educational self-improvement versus 5% of the poor.
Yeah, that one, we can't put a stinger on that one loud enough.
Yeah, that's probably the next widest gap besides the 30 minutes of reading.
That is the second
every
widest
day. Gap. And that's just since college, I've been on the self-improvement kick ever since. How do I be a better person?
You know, I'd
probably be a real total jerk and wouldn't do in this job if I wasn't thinking about self-improvement for the past,
30 years? 40
yeah.
years?
Yeah.
Well, I think about it a little different here because I think the college system is outdated. Have I said this on the show before to where when you grow up, if you want to have a profession, you just learn the profession and you do it the rest of your life. But you know, we're past the year 2000 by quite a big clip here. You learn everything you learn in college and in 10 years, that's obsolete. You have to keep learning the equivalent of a bachelor's degree.
Oh, I tell people that you think college was it. I finished with school, and that's where the learning started.
Amen.
I'm telling you, if I was resting on those laurels, I'd be a loser.
Number 20, 86% of wealthy love to read versus 26% of
there it
the
is
poor.
Again.
Yeah, that's the big one too. Huge spread. And I'm so grateful. My oldest kid, he's about to turn 8. He loves to read because he figured out, man, there's all kinds of stuff in here, in these books.
Yeah, look. We could do something simple as Jurassic Park. Go watch that first movie and then read the book. Oh my gosh. It just is unbelievable difference, meaning the book has so much more. And that goes for anything.
It's funny you said that because I read the book before I saw Jurassic Park, the movie.
It was a disappointment.
It was a little bit. All right. You're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. If you need the services of a financial advisor, I recommend Gregory. GregoryRicks.com, 504-832-9200. See you tomorrow.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized use of this broadcast without expressed consent is prohibited. Find show contact information and podcasts in the Winning at Life app.